up in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reading from the fourth commandment from the Catechism. Honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. An Old Testament responsive reading from Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
O Lord, my God, you are very good.
You make springs gush forth in the valleys.
May they flow into the hills.
They give drink to every beast of the field. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell.
They sit among the branches.
From your lofty abode you water the mountains.
The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work.
You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate.
That he may bring forth the fruit of the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man.
Oil to make his face shine.
And bread to strengthen man's eyes.
The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. In them the birds build their nests. The high mountains are for the wild goats. He made the moon to mark the seasons. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. These all look to you. When you give it to them, they gather it up.
When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed.
When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created.
May you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
May the Lord rejoice in his works.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And a reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you should be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone. Man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then, know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Log it into the stack of things that used to be a very big deal that I can't remember. I checked just earlier today any of my kids' education giving more than a brush to. The Mayflower Compact. In November of 1620, 400 years ago this month, the pilgrims aboard the Mayflower figured out two things. The first was that they had been driven dramatically off course in crossing the Atlantic. They would not be landing in Virginia Colony, a colony that already had a charter. And by charter, I mean some type of basic law. Instead, they wound up in Massachusetts. And before they disembarked, according to William Bradford, we observed some not well affected to unity and concord, but gave some appearances of faction. It was thought good there should be an association and agreement that we should combine together in one body and to submit to such government and governor as we should, by common consent, agree to make and choose, to set our hands to that follows, word for word. There were 102 passengers on the Mayflower, 74 men and 28 women. Of those 102, 37 only were strict Puritans, the rest being a miscellaneous group of adventurers and crew and indentured servants to those on board. 102 people venturing onto a continent they knew nothing of, not what the weather would be like, which was terrible, not what the natural resources would be, which were abundant, and not what type of native population was present. They could disappear as ones and twos into that environment, or they could form something more. Something that both pilgrim saints and adventuring strangers, as they called each other themselves, something that they all agreed to. Quoting from that short compact, they formed a civic body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time, it shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. The entire document is just over 200 words. But in the rest of that document, it spells out a clear order. The compact opens in the name of God. Amen. We should fear and love God. All of our rights, our duties, and good order are both given and derived from our status as creatures of God Almighty. Building on any other foundation is building on the sand. Pilgrims certainly feared and loved God. But it was not just them. The rest of that crew understood the only foundation for what they were endeavoring was the Lord Almighty. And they invoked his authority and blessing. We are loyal subjects of the sovereign King James. We should not despise or anger our parents or other authorities. pilgrims had been chased out of England for their religious beliefs. The Mayflower had set sail from the Netherlands, yet they were still Englishmen. And they were attempting to figure out how they could both render to God that which was God's and to the king that which was the king's. Technically, landing in Massachusetts, they were trespassing. Today, we would probably say that they were trespassing on the Native Americans' rights. But in that day, they were trespassing on the king's claims. They had authority to join the Virginia colony, not to make one in New England. So they recognized proper earthly authority. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony. But both honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Pilgrim's endeavor was an outgrowth of this dual obligation to God and to king or country. The Mayflower Compact rightly ordered their existence. But that right order would also recognize that neither God nor king are going to arrive to bail them out directly. They would need to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time. The American system, the American spirit, is one of that self-governance. It has been from the time of the pilgrims stepped off of that Mayflower. In a time where we might observe that many are not well affected to unity and concord, but give appearances of faction, we might reflect on the spirit and the order of the pilgrims. If temporal authority is not only not loved and cherished, but is dishonored and disobeyed, we might reflect that men who do not fear God will certainly not fear other men. We project the eternal authority not as the loving Father or our brother Jesus Christ who gave himself for us, but as a distant and occasionally capricious fate. We might reflect how we fear God, but we don't love him. Likewise, if we project an eternal authority not as Lord, but as some generic principles of love, ungrounded in his personal revelation of himself, we might love that God, a false one that we have created, but we would not fear him. Those pilgrims didn't have it easy. About half of those who disembarked the Mayflower would die that winter. Even rightly ordered self-government doesn't fix all the troubles of the world. But about a year later, and after the harvest, they would hold the first Thanksgiving. We, their heirs, are much richer than they ever were. We are much safer, even in a pandemic. We have much to be thankful for. But we should, in the midst of Thanksgiving, not just turn it into a generic celebration of full bellies, of our material well-being. It's also a day to remember and to commit anew to the proper order of authority and to renew our own self-governance, which always is a blessing from God, a birthright that we all too often sell cheaply. Pilgrims knew what that self-governance cost, and they were willing to pay it. And for this gift from God, they gave thanks. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Are there any prayers this evening we should add to the We will follow the litany on the back page. And at some point I will add one special one here. But in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. For the gift of this day and the opportunity to give you praise. For the love and warmth of family and friends, for those gathered here and those gathered elsewhere, for those who can't gather, and for most of all, for those gathered to the eternal home. For the good gift of children and grandchildren to nurture in your love and fear, for the blessing of hearth and home. For the joyful noise of infants cooing and children at play, and for their honor of serving them, knowing they are beloved by you.
Glory to you, O Lord.
For the food you so graciously provide us, and for the joy of feasting and playing together.
Glory to you, O Lord.
For the sufferings that you are pleased to send us, for they purify us from selfishness and remind us of the one thing needful, your eternal kingdom.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And finally, for those things which we are most thankful, the sweet comfort of your gospel, the forgiveness of all our sins by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of our resurrection to eternal life, for the joyful companionship afforded by the church, for your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, for the gifts of baptism and the Eucharist. We join together in the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We say a special prayer for Alan Rowe and for his family making difficult decisions. We pray that you would bless him, and may you trust his soul into your care, Lord, in your mercy. I don't know how we do this. Share the peace with you. Is this it? The peace of the Lord be with you. Continue then with the hymn, Thou Think We All Are God.